John Locke, who lived over 300 years ago, was a famous English philosopher and physician, and he was known for his profound thoughts and ideas. Many of his ideas can be found in our country's earliest political documents, including and especially the Declaration of Independence. Although he was known for these profound thoughts and ideas, he was also known for his famous quotes. And one of his famous quotes was actually simple and to the point. And this simple quote had to do with understanding. And he said this: "The improvement of understanding is for two ends. First, our own increase of knowledge, and secondly, to be able to deliver that knowledge to others." And that's what we do as a church. We increase, and as disciples as well, we increase our understanding of God's Word so that we can teach others. I mentioned that in my last sermon, talking about the first fruits, that the first fruits are an indication of the greater harvest to come, and we have a reason and a purpose. We're going to be a part of the family of God, teaching others in the kingdom alongside Jesus Christ. But this topic of increasing knowledge tends to be a challenge, especially as the years go by. Time goes by, things come at us, but we still need to be increasing our understanding. And that is what is great about this day today. The day of Pentecost that we are celebrating today marked a profound beginning for the New Testament church because something wonderful happened. And what happened was the Holy Spirit was given to the church. And through the Holy Spirit, more people would begin to learn and practice God's word in their lives. Jesus Christ called a small group of men. He taught them to follow in his footsteps, to guide them on their way to eternal life. And he promised them help. Help so that they would be able to understand and grow in the word. Turn with me to begin with to John 14. Let's go to John chapter 14. This is the section of scripture where Jesus Christ was with the disciples in the upper room shortly after they had partaken of the New Testament symbols of the Passover. They had partaken of the bread and wine and also had done the foot washing. And now, while they're still together with him in the upper room, he began to give them instructions, comforting instructions about the help that they would have in the future. Let's pick it up in John chapter 14, verse number 12. He said to the disciples, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." Now that's a profound statement in itself. The works that Jesus Christ did, which were wonderful works, mighty works, he taught the gospel message, preached the gospel message in parables, sermons, he healed, brought people back to life, many mighty works. And he says, "The works that I do, you will do also." Continuing on, "And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." Think about that. Greater works, because Christ would go to the Father, and then help would come through the form of the Holy Spirit. As he says in verse number 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever." Another helper. Jesus Christ was helping the disciples. They were walking with him. He was of the Holy Spirit, and so he was a helper to them. But he promises another helper that's going to come along, the Holy Spirit. Now, our English translators, they personified the Holy Spirit into a person, and the Holy Spirit is not a person, it's a power. It should be correctly translated "it" here instead of "he." Continuing on, verse number 17, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees it nor knows it, but you will know it, for it dwells with you and will be in you." Will be is future tense. He was looking to the future, to the day of Pentecost, when that help through the Holy Spirit would come to help the disciples to greater understanding. Verse number 20. At that day, and that day he's referring to is Pentecost. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. So Jesus Christ, he was telling the disciples in these chapters that he was going to be going away, but he would not leave them alone, that there would be help. The Holy Spirit would come. And the Holy Spirit, going to the original Greek word, is parakletos, which means one that comes along aside, by the side to assist, to help. Helps you do something you cannot do by yourself. We can't overcome our human natures. We can't overcome sin without that help. And he says that the Holy Spirit will come on that day, referring to Pentecost. And by means of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit would help them to have greater understanding. Because it is the power that gives us understanding. Let's go to verse number 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, again future tense, will send in my name, it will teach you all things. Now what is the all things that is going to be taught to the disciples? He's not referring to physical things here, like science and mathematics, geography, history. He's talking about spiritual things. All things spiritual will be taught to the disciples. It will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things, spiritual things, that I have said to you. As they had walked along with him for virtually 3.5 years, listening to his sermons and his parables, the Holy Spirit was going to give them the remembrance of the things that he said, so that they could teach others and go out and preach the gospel message to the world. And we do see that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit did come, Peter preached a powerful sermon, and the church began to grow with the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's continue. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, it's the Holy Spirit that helped the disciples to understand spiritual truths, and it helps us to understand spiritual truths as well. Guides us along the way. Acts chapter 2, and we're just going to touch on the first part of the chapter first and then move along to some other scriptures. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And the Holy Spirit began to work with those that were assembled that day, 120 disciples. Then the Apostle Peter began to preach a powerful sermon. He began to look up at those that were assembled, the many Jews that were there, and he began to tell them that it was their fault. They were the ones that had caused the death of Jesus Christ. It was because of their sins. And he actually touched those people. They began to listen and take to heart what he said. And let's go down to verse number 36. He said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And as he said that you crucified, I bet there was jaws dropping as he looked around the room. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do because we did this? Then Peter gave them a simple formula in verse number 38. He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance, a change of life, being baptized, being immersed under that water, symbolically leaving all your sins behind, coming up out of that water, a new person, ready to walk and follow Jesus Christ. Then the hands laid upon the person to receive the Holy Spirit, so that they have that help so that they can overcome. Continuing on, verse 39, for the promise that we read in John chapter 14, the promise of that helper to come, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And the disciples shortly after this would be sent to various parts of the world to begin that message to preach, and God would begin to call. Verse number 40, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them. And we don't even have all the other words of the sermon that the Apostle Peter preached. You can believe that it was powerful. And he said, the last part of verse number 40, be saved from this perverse generation. Think about that. First century AD, he called it a perverse generation. Here we are in 2015. I think we can say double, triple that, or even more. Verse number 41, and this is what I want to zero in on, verse 41 and 42. Then those who gladly received his word, that sermon, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. The church began to grow because the Holy Spirit had come and began to work in their lives. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Notice it says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching. The apostles' teaching. They were teaching the brethren there. And these people began to grow. And that's the challenge for you and I today as well as we meet here in 2015 on the day of Pentecost. The title of today's sermon is Grow in Spiritual Understanding. Grow in spiritual understanding. Today, let's learn how we, you and I personally, as disciples of Christ, can grow in spiritual understanding. The Holy Spirit, and we see it here as we read these verses in Acts chapter 2, helped those people who heard Peter's sermon that day so that they could understand and grow. And that help is available to you and I so that we can personally grow as well. Let's examine verse 42 a little more deeply. We see this two-word phrase, our English words, continued steadfastly. This word continued is better translated in the New International Version, devoted. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And it comes from a Greek word which means a steadfast and single-minded course of action to grow, spiritually speaking. Actually, a better translation that gives you the sense of the first part of verse 42 reads like this in the New Century Version. It reads like this. They spent their time learning the apostles' teaching. Very simple. Learning the apostles' teaching. And you know, before this date in history, that really didn't happen. We've seen the example as we've gone through the Minor Prophet Bible Study series and as we've been going through Genesis. Very few in the Old Testament times really did learn. There are a few examples here and there, but ancient Israel as a whole did not learn anything, did they? They slid backwards. They got away from following God. And God had to actually bring punishment upon the children of Israel and the house of Judah because of their backsliding ways. Fast forward to the days of Jesus Christ, as he began to teach powerfully, to work miracles in their day in the first century AD. How many were truly learning? Very, very few. In fact, he had to upbraid the cities in Galilee, Capernaum, and some of the other cities around there, Bethsaida, because they would not repent. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 20. So no, speaking generally of the general population, the millions in Palestine, Judea in that day, they were not learning. It was only this day, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, that it really took off, where people really began to grow in character. Continue on in verse number 42. They were learning the apostles' teaching, also fellowship, a unity that they had never experienced before, a coming together with a common mind and goal and purpose, and also the breaking of bread as they got together and shared meals together, and in prayers. Their prayer life took off. And what happens when a disciple is understanding, learning God's word, and their prayer life, it takes off? They're having fellowship with God. And they're growing in character, in spiritual understanding. So we see here, the brethren were learning, their prayer life was going, there was a unity, the Holy Spirit was working, and there was spiritual growth. Understanding was abounding. Now this word understanding, when we're referring to our English word understanding in the scriptures, it can mean either a simple, basic understanding of something simple, or a profound understanding of complex matters, the kind of understanding that God the Creator has. And we can get that understanding from God. He's the source of all understanding. Let's go to Job chapter 38, verses 34 through 36. You know the story of Job, how he had been humbled. He had received boils and he was being humbled. And in this humbling process, God was teaching him in this section of scripture, who is the source of understanding, of true understanding. Job chapter 38. And let's begin reading in verse number 34. Job chapter 38. Verse 34. He asks Job a question. He says, "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you?" He's asking, "Can you call down the rain?" Now this is something that Job would have understood in the people of that day and time a lot more than we do today. We have an abundance of rain going on here in Arkansas in the month of May. But in Palestine, and we've talked about this in the Bible study series in Genesis, they had their periods where it did not rain at all. And a lot of times where there was great famine. Abraham, no sooner than he had got to the promised land, had to flee to Egypt because of famine. It was a common thing to have famine in the ancient times. And rain was precious. And God was telling Job, asking him, "Can you call down the rain in those times of need?" Continuing on, verse 35, "Can you send out lightnings that they may go and say to you, 'Here we are'?" God is the Creator. He has created everything, and He can do these marvelous things. Verse 36, "Who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart?" Notice there's a connection here between the mind and understanding. God is the source of understanding. He's the supreme example of its use. But there's this connection here between the mind and understanding. God can open up our minds to understand more of His word, more of His will, and more of His way. Insight, discernment, and perception are all aspects of understanding, and God can give that to each and every one of us as disciples. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 19 and 20. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 19. "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens." And we, with our limited minds and our limited thinking, we can't grasp the understanding and the wisdom that God had to create the vast universe that we have, to look up in the heavens and see the stars and all the planets. In this earth that we have, you know, the trees and the flowers, beautiful things the plant life, even our bodies that were created so wonderfully by him. He has that understanding to be the creator of everything. Verse number 20, by his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds drop down the dew. He's the one that can bring rain in due season. God has that understanding, and we have access to that understanding. And Jesus Christ was teaching the disciples as he was with them in the upper room, as we read in John chapter 14, that they could have access to that understanding, wisdom, by help through the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Luke chapter 24 now. Let's take a look at a section of scripture where after Jesus Christ had been resurrected from the dead, he appeared before the disciples and he showed them who he was. At first they did not believe who he was, and then he showed them and he actually had a meal with them. And then he began to teach them, teaching them some very profound things from the scriptures that was pointing towards the day of Pentecost. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And let's begin reading in verse number 44. Luke 24, 44. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. And they heard a lot of sermons, a lot of parables that he had given, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And so he was telling them, you know, as I gave those sermons, as I gave those parables, and I talked about those things using those Old Testament scriptures, the law of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, a lot of those scriptures were concerning what I would be doing. Notice verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. That's another one of those profound scriptures, verse 45. Think about the fact that they had been with him for virtually 3 to 3.5 years, listening to his sermons, seeing the mighty works that he had done. And now he's giving them a profound understanding where they can really, really comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Here's one of the things that he was revealing to them to have greater understanding of what his the purpose of his sacrifice really was. Then he goes on to another thing that he opened up to their understanding. Verse 47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And that is what the apostles would begin to do after they received the Holy Spirit and began to go out into the world and preach the gospel message. Again, he's opening their minds to really understand this truly and the mission that they would have. Verse 48, and you are witnesses of all these things. Then verse 49, and this points to the Holy Spirit coming on Pentecost, which we're celebrating today. Behold, that's that alerting word to gain attention. Behold, I send the promise that we read in John chapter 14 of the Helper coming. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So he opened their minds to understand this, that they're going to stay in Jerusalem, that the promise of the Helper is going to be coming, and that's going to help them to be able to go out and to do the mission of preaching the gospel that he and the Father wanted them to do. And as it says in verse 45, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture, the significance of all of these things, and especially when the Holy Spirit would come on that day of Pentecost. And as we saw in Acts chapter 2 very briefly, as Peter preached that very powerful message to the people on Pentecost, they did repent. 3,000 of them were baptized, and they became converted individuals. And conversion is something that's not just a one and done. It's a lifelong process. I know some of you have been around many, many years like I have in the church. And it's a continual process of growing and understanding and overcoming. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to further that growth in understanding. And all we have to do is ask. Ask God to help you, help me to develop character, to grow as Jesus Christ would have me to do. So as we continue on in this sermon now, to put this in a personal perspective to each and every one of us, let's examine three steps to grow in spiritual understanding. Three practical ways that you and I, as disciples, can grow in spiritual understanding. The people that were converted on that day of Pentecost began to grow. The fellowship increased, their prayer life, the learning from the apostles. And we can further our growth as well. Step number one to grow in spiritual understanding is this. Prepare your heart to learn God's Word. Prepare your heart to learn God's Word. And the Holy Spirit can help us to do this. And again, we just have to ask. God would be pleased to hear us ask to have that help to grow spiritually speaking. You know, we're not asking for a new car, a new home, or wealth. We're asking for something that He wants to see done in our lives. And He'd be glad to help us and to give us more help through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Ezra. Ezra chapter 7. We talked about this in the Minor Prophet Bible study series, how the Jews had gone into captivity in Babylon. Then there was a decree made by Cyrus that they could begin to go back to their homeland, to the land of Judea. And the Jews that were returning to their homeland had two specific leaders. One, a physical leader, Nehemiah, the governor. But they had a spiritual leader as well, Ezra. Ezra was the priest, their spiritual leader. And let's read about him briefly in Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 6. This Ezra, the spiritual leader of the Jews returning to Judea, came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. There's not too many examples in the Bible that we can read about of men or women that were skilled scribes in the law. Probably the best next skilled scribe that we read about is Jesus Christ himself. Ezra was described as a skilled scribe. Now, if you're reading in the Old King James, the two words are ready scribe, which ready scribe means skillful. And how is it that Ezra became a skilled scribe? Notice verse number 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. And that is the mission of all of us as disciples. We are the first fruits. We are the first fruits that show the greater harvest that will come, as I talked about in my last sermon. And this is what a disciple does. He prepares his heart to seek God's Word, to understand more of God's Word, so that he can teach in the future. And that's what Ezra had done. And that's why he was described as a skilled scribe. And you and I can do that as well. And we have that help through God's Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. This is a parable that I recently touched upon, the parable of the sower and the seed. Jesus Christ had many people assembled together, and he taught them in parables. This particular parable that he was teaching was something that they could relate to because they lived in an agricultural society. They knew what it was to go out and reap the harvest a lot more than we do today. We go to our Krogers and our Walmarts in our stores to buy our food, whereas they knew what it was like to actually get out there with the sickle and harvest. So he used this parable of something they could understand, relating it to the gospel message, sowing the seed of the word, and how people reacted to the gospel message. It's within this particular parable. Verse number 2, he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And again, this is talking, in symbolically speaking, of sowing the gospel message, God's word, and how people would react to God's word. Verse number 4, it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. No sooner had that seed been scattered on the road, birds swooped down, took it away. Didn't even have a chance to grow. These are people who do not last even a minute with the gospel message. Verse number 5, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. These are ones that hear the gospel message, become excited immediately, grow instantaneously, but there's no solid rooting. They don't grow, spiritually speaking. Verse number 6, when trials come along, when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Didn't gain, spiritually speaking, and root down into God's word. Verse number 7, some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. The ones that, this is the gospel message, sown amongst the thorns, where cares of this world and other things distract these particular disciples from the gospel word, and there's no growth at all. But other seed, verse number 8, and this is where we want to be categorized, as we hear God's word and put it to work effectively in our lives. Other seed fell on good ground, yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. There's some adjectives, some words that are wonderful to talk about the growth of a disciple. Sprang up, produced, increased. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Back in those days, they would have been happy to have a 30-fold average crop. It was growth. 60-fold was even better. 100 was fantastic and very rare, but it is achievable. And we can do that through God's help. I like what the Life Application Study Bible adds to this section of Scripture. It says this: some people in the crowd were looking for evidence to use against Jesus. Others truly wanted to learn and grow. Christ's words were for the honest seekers. The honest seekers who heard that word, applied it in their lives, and began to grow. An honest seeker seeks the help of the Holy Spirit, God's power, to attain spiritual growth in their lives. It's a deeper kind of listening with the mind and the heart to gain that spiritual understanding. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. This is a good section of Scripture to relate to on this day of Pentecost. We have actually the first couple of verses that I'm going to read in our song hymnal. Psalm chapter 119. Let's begin reading in verse number 97. Oh, how love I your law. A disciple that says that, that sings that, is one that is preparing his heart, his or her heart. Oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day. Through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. You know, there's a lot of people around us, a lot of educated people in this world, and yet God's word can make us wiser than even those that consider themselves to be wise in this world. Verse number 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients. You know, back in those days, this is something that's hard for us to relate to unless you really dig into the history and the commentaries of those times. But back in those ancient times, there was a lot of wisdom. There was a lot of understanding. They had complete libraries in Egypt, Babylon, Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham left his family and left his country behind. They had extensive libraries. There was a lot of education in those days. But we read here in verse number 100, I have more understanding than the ancients, those that think that they're wise. Verse 104, through your precepts, I get understanding, through your word, through the scriptures. Therefore, I hate every false way. God's word makes us wise. True wisdom goes beyond amassing knowledge. True wisdom is applying knowledge in a life-changing way, allowing what God teaches us to guide us and to become converted. Step number 2 to grow in spiritual understanding, seek Christ's mind and attitude daily. Seek the mind of Jesus Christ. We need it so that we can grow. By doing that, we are seeking guidance of the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. Again, with this step number 2, seeking the mind of Jesus Christ, seeking the help from Him on a daily basis. Verse number 1, chapter 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And He's there to give us help in our time of need and to give us the help that we need so that we can grow. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And that's what people do in today's world, in today's society. The get way, wanting to get more, setting your sights on things here in today's world. Verse number 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. There'll be a change from the physical to the spirit being. Verse number 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. And he's going to list various things that plague us in our human nature. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, you know, things that cause us to slip away, our human nature. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. And we did. At one time, before those of us that were baptized, we did walk that way away from God. But we made a commitment to follow Him and to make that commitment so that we could grow, spiritually speaking. Verse number 8. Again, you yourselves are to put off all these things, our human nature, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Verse number 10. Is one of those verses to focus in on, especially on this day of Pentecost. We have put away the old man, our old way of life, and are committed to following in the footsteps of Christ. And notice, when we do that, and we seek Christ's help through the Holy Spirit, we're renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. We're renewed in knowledge like Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we will be reading verses 1 through 5. This is a good section of scripture to read on this day of Pentecost as well. It has great implications for this day. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1. And Peter starts out very similar, talking about human nature, laying aside our human nature, putting off the old man, similar to what we read previously in Colossians. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, in other words, our human nature. Verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Just like a new person, a new man, a new woman, desiring God's word, so that you can grow, spiritually speaking. If indeed you have tasted, verse number 3, that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Notice, coming to him, putting on his mind, asking for more of his character. Verse number 5, you also, all of us as disciples, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. We're part of the very foundation of the future. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, and us as living stones, living examples of the way of life, the right way of life, being built up. A spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And again, we can be those living stones by seeking the mind of Jesus Christ and his attitude and help through the power of the Holy Spirit. One more scripture in regards to the second point, Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. Romans chapter 12. And as we begin to read verse number 1, notice the admonition of the Apostle Paul to the brethren in Rome, how he was pleading to them to listen to these words of wisdom. Romans 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice how this corresponds to what we just read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. The living stones being built up in the spiritual house. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse number 2, do not be conformed to this world, you know, our human nature that wants to pull us that way, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of our mind, putting away the old things of our human nature, being transformed, the mind of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do for us. And again, we just need to ask. God can help us. God expects us to come before him in a humble manner. We can ask him for that help, ask him to give us more of the mind of Jesus Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he can help us so that we can grow spiritually day upon day. Step number 3 in our endeavor to grow spiritually speaking, to grow in spiritual understanding. Number 3, perseverance in growth to the end. Perseverance in growth to the end. There are so many scriptures that we can turn to. We'll turn to a couple of them, three of them here, that we as disciples have to hang in there until the very end. We can become weary in well-doing, and spiritual growth can wane. I know, and I mentioned this to the brethren in Jonesboro this morning, I never would have thought when my mother first started listening to Mr. Armstrong back in the early 60s, and we began to attend services in 1966 in Detroit, Michigan, and I started hearing those sermons, I never thought that I would still be here in the year 2015. Nor did I ever thought that I'd be speaking to a congregation, to be a pastor of a congregation like I am today. It's been a long journey, a long road, and it's not over with yet. We don't know when Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. But our commission, what we have to do as disciples, is to hang in there until the end and grow along the way. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here we come across a section of Scripture, verses 1 through 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul was teaching and admonishing young Timothy. Timothy was going to be going out to preach the gospel message, and the Apostle Paul was giving him the words of wisdom that he needed that he could teach others. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. He says to young Timothy, "You therefore, my son," in a very endearing fashion, he calls him my son, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Verse number 2, notice this, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That's exactly what we've been talking about in this sermon, even going back to the quote of John Locke. Learning, growing in spiritual understanding so that you can teach others. And that's the mission of a disciple and a minister, as Timothy would be. Then he begins to connect it together, this mission of learning and teaching, with enduring. Enduring to the end. Verse number 3. "You must therefore, to teach others, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We're going to see that he uses the example of soldiers, athletes, and farmers, talking about this enduring process. Verse number 4. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life." You know, what we've been reading previously, the things of human nature, "that he may please him," God, "who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned until he competes according to the rules." Verse number 6, "The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops." So the Apostle Paul makes a comparison with soldiers, athletes, and farmers who must discipline themselves and be willing to sacrifice to achieve the results that they want. First of all, like a soldier, the soldier must endure rigorous discipline. The soldier goes through it all when the sergeant begins to discipline him. He must endure that. And he's using that comparison with enduring in growth to be able to teach others. The athlete must train hard and follow the rules. In order to finish a marathon, you got to put in that training to get that reward, that crown, or that medal. Like farmers, a farmer must work extremely hard and be patient. He has to be patient to watch the rain come and the crops to grow so that he can go out and begin to harvest. And besides, despite any suffering or enduring that these particular individuals would come across, they had the thought of victory, the vision of winning, and the hope of the harvest. Then notice verse number 7. "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. This enduring to the end is part of this growth process. And notice the Apostle Paul connects enduring and teaching with understanding. And he uses the phrase all things, like we read before. All things is not talking about physical things. We're talking about all things spiritual. Understanding spiritual things. Growing and enduring until the end so that you can teach others. That's what the Apostle Paul was teaching Timothy here in this section of Scripture. And that's what we have to do as disciples. Our commission to continue on growing in spiritual understanding until the very end. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. You know the way the world has a way of wearing on us? The things that we go through, our trials, our tribulations, health issues that we go through, whatever it might be, the work at school, whatever it might be, we face those trials, and we can't grow weary in our well-doing. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, a scripture that's familiar to each and every one of us. But here's a scripture that really relates to this day of Pentecost. You might not have thought of this in that way before, but notice. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The connection here between reaping and not losing heart. What does this day, what's part of what this day, what does it mean? It's the day of first fruits. It's the Feast of First Fruits, one of its very names. The first fruits are an indicator of the greater harvest to come. And Paul is saying here about the harvest. You shall reap if you don't give up. You'll be part of that harvest. You'll be reapers. But hang in there. The paraphrase, these are my own words paraphrased. We could read it like this. Let us not grow weary while bearing fruit. Let us not grow weary while bearing fruit. And again, there's a connection with Pentecost. We shall reap the Feast of Harvest, Feast of the First Fruits, if we do not lose heart. Talking about going forward, bearing fruit, and growing in understanding. The title of this sermon. A couple more scriptures as we begin to wind down. You might have known that I was going to turn here. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 13. Matthew chapter 24, and of course this is the section of scripture that we read where the disciples approached Jesus Christ and asked for him to tell them about the times of the end, what would be the signs of your coming. And this was one of the admonitions he gave to the disciples and to us as disciples today in the year 2015. Matthew 24 verse 13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And I'd like to add, he who grows spiritually speaking and endures along the way shall be saved. That salvation, that change from physical to spirit is what we all look forward to be a part of the family of God, to be spirit beings. And our commission is to hang in there. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Part of the spiritual harvest which we all look forward to. Finally, let's go to John chapter 16. These are words that Jesus Christ was giving to the disciples. Some of the final words that he gave to them as they were walking along the road to Gethsemane, and he would eventually be arrested, tried, and put to death. He was giving them his final words of comfort and strength that there would be help for them as they would go out and fulfill the mission that he gave to them. John chapter 16, verse number 13. He said, however, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth. God's Spirit can help us to understand his truth and to worship the way that we should. And that's what the day of Pentecost is about. That's what happened in AD 31, when the Holy Spirit came to those people, they began to grow. They began to understand. Their prayer life took off. Their fellowship. It worked with them in the first century AD, and it works with us today in the year 2015. Continuing on, "For it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you things to come." It will help you so that you can grow, spiritually speaking, and can conform to the character of Jesus Christ. But it's a challenge for us as disciples, as time goes by, to keep the fire going, to fan the flame of the fire, to learn and to grow. But that's what's great about this day of Pentecost, because we have help through the Holy Spirit. And as I've said several times during the sermon, all we have to do is ask. God would be pleased for us to ask for that help. Building a relationship with Christ using the Holy Spirit. Brethren, there is a great harvest of people to be reaped in the future. God wants us to be preparing to help them to become converted and to be a part of His family. Let's prepare our hearts to receive the instruction. Let's seek the mind and attitude of Jesus Christ. And finally, let's persevere in growth until the end, so that we, you and I, can grow in spiritual understanding and have that understanding to teach others in that great harvest that lays out in the future the kingdom of God. May you have a great rest of the day of Pentecost and have a safe trip home.